Now, you can see, you see the Mediterranean Sea off to the top left there. If we go inland a bit, the first body of water where it says Ammon and Moab, you can see down below that Sodom and Gomorrah, and that's where Lot was, all right? And Abraham was up towards Canaan. You can see Canaan at the top of that, just off the right side of the Mediterranean Sea there. And so they were, there was quite a bit of ways between them. And so Abraham is, in a sense, bartering with God, saying, for 10 people, and he stops there, all right? So he's thinking, well, I probably got my family covered here, you know. And so what happens is God tells him, he says, you need to go get your family, get them out of there, because it's happening right away. Get them out of there. And so Lot goes, Abraham goes down to his nephew Lot, and he says, hey, you got to get out of here, all right? Now listen, the angels and that had visited Abraham, giving him this news, they go to the city. They go to the city. Now, Lot is in the city square area where a lot of the business dealings and things like that of the city are decided and stuff like that. Well, Lot must be involved in some of those things. And so they're telling him, well, we're going to stay here tonight. And Lot says, you can't do that. Don't do that. It's not a good place to stay. And so he beckons them, please, please, don't stay out here. Bad things are going to happen to you, okay? And he says, come to my house. So he convinces them to come and stay at his house. And while they're there, the men of the city start banging on the door, right? They start banging on the door that they want to come in and have sex with these angels, these guys that have come to that city. Weird stuff in the Bible, friends. Weird stuff sometimes, yeah? And what happens is eventually they just grab the hands. So these guys, they all come. They're crowding around Lot's house. His family's in there. And he says, man, don't do this wicked thing you're about to do. Don't do it. And he's standing outside the door. And he says, I have daughters here. You can have them. Ugh. What the guy was thinking, I'm telling you. Right? That's not how you do things. That's not how God does things. Okay? But he says, here, you can have my daughters. But that didn't satisfy them. They wanted the men. They wanted the men. That tells you how wicked and evil that place was. Okay? Now listen. As Lot is standing outside of the door, the men are getting more and more irate. And so these angel guys, they grab him and they pull him inside and they bar the door and they cause the men outside to become blind. Just like that. These guys become blind. They don't know what's going on. And so these men tell Lot, you've got to get the rest of your family, get your sons-in-laws, your daughters. We're taking all of y'all. We're getting out of here. Because God is going to do what? He's going to destroy this place. All right? So now, they take, the sons-in-law wouldn't come. They didn't take him seriously. And so they didn't come. So Lot grabs his family, and the guys grab Lot, and they're all heading out of here. And they say to them, this, don't look back. Don't even stop. You keep running to the mountains because it's coming and it's coming fast and it's going to be complete destruction. But as Lot and his family are heading up to this place, now Lot didn't want to go to the mountains for some reason and it doesn't really say, but he says, let us stay here in this other small town that's away from there. And the angels agree, okay, you can stay there, okay? And so what happens is, Lot, as they're running away from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, his wife turns around and she looks back at what she is leaving behind. She looks back at what she's leaving behind. Her home, her possessions, other people, okay? All of these things are being left behind, and she longs, maybe her way of life, and she doesn't know what she's headed to, even though God is trying to save them, she longingly looks back where she came from. And the Bible says that she turned into a pillar of salt. She turned into a pillar of salt. Now listen, the message that we had last week was don't look back. God's not there anymore. God is where He is leading you. God is moving forward. He's not moving backwards. He's calling you out of a place and taking you somewhere else. God's taking you to a place of provision. God's taking you to a place of blessing, a place of safety. God didn't want to leave them there. Notice it wasn't 10 people that survived. It wasn't even 10. Not even 10 righteous people in that whole city. And God saved Lot. He saved his wife and his daughters. But his wife turned to a pillar of stone. Or salt. Now listen. As the Israelites were being led, the Hebrew people were being led out of Egypt. Remember, they were in bondage, slavery, literally, for 400 years. 400 years. And as they're being led out there, let's turn to Numbers. Let's get in the Word, friends, because that's what it's all about. You didn't come here to hear me. You came here for the Word. And the Word is what sets you free, amen? The Word is what we need. Let's look at Numbers Numbers 11:5. So now, just to let you know what's happened here, God has led the Israelites out of Egypt and their slavery, and He has provided for them. I couldn't get it to work. How did you do that? Oh, wow. Now we can have some fun. Where's my cat? All right. So, Numbers 11:5. So, God has delivered His people from the hand of Pharaoh, who was considered a god. All right? Led them right out of Egypt. Now they're in the desert, okay? And they have to provide for themselves. And while they're in the desert, they're in college, right? We talked about this. They're learning how to obey God. They're learning how to follow Him, how to please Him, how to live in accordance with each other, right? And you may remember that that's where they got the Ten Commandments, was in the desert, Mount Horeb. All right? Now listen, the Ten Commandments, some of them teach them how to live for God. Others teach them how to live with each other. Okay? Now, as they're in the desert, they get thirsty, which you would think is probably a normal thing, wouldn't you? Now, they begin to complain. Whenever we begin to complain, friends, trouble starts. Trouble starts when we begin to complain. So I'm going to start in verse 4, and I know this bothers my guys, but the rabble with them began to crave other food. So now listen, there were other people that came with them that were not Hebrew people, all right? And for whatever reason, these people began to complain first. And again, the Israelites started wailing as well and said, if only we had meat to eat, we remember the fish we ate in Egypt and how good it was. No cost. We didn't even have to pay for it. We had it so good in Egypt. Remember back there when we were slaves? We had it so good back there, didn't we? Yeah. You see where I'm going. They were slaves. They forgot how bad it was. But they remember the food. If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also, the cucumbers and the melons, the leeks and onions and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this stupid manna. Every day, manna this, manna that, manna patties, banana bread. And they began to complain. And they looked back and longed for what they had back when they were slaves, friends. God's not there anymore. God is leading you to the promised land, and you what? You want to go back to Egypt? Because of the food they got? You're kidding me, right? You want to go back there where I just delivered you from with great signs and wonders that the whole world will know and remember in a great display of power and sovereignty. God delivered his people. And now they're whining and complaining because they want to go back where they had so much good stuff to eat. Dangerous. Dangerous. Don't look back, friends. In this new year, 2020, did you ever think we'd be living in 2020? You remember that show, Buck Rogers? Yeah. Buck Rogers? I'm aging myself, aren't I? It was a kind of a space show. But the movies that we watched showed what things would be like in the year 2020. It was like, oh, the earth will never survive till 2020. And here we are. With flannel even. Here we are. I never thought, wow. Wow. Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 3. I'm jumping around a little bit today. I hope you can stay with me here. Exodus 17, 1 through 3. Now listen to what happens. They get thirsty, and they begin to do what? They complain. They grumble. What is it about us that likes to grumble and complain? We are so dissatisfied with what we got, we always want something else because the grass is always greener over there. That's what we think, right? And so they began to thirst, and instead of asking God, God, we're thirsty, you know we need water to drink here, will you give us something to drink? They don't do that. They start whining and complaining to Moses. Moses gets ticked off. He says, why do you do this? Why do you provoke me, provoke God? Why are you doing this? The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. All right? So we're okay here. They camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, not only were they complaining, but they were arguing, quarreling with God's elected leader. All right? Somebody that God anointed to do this job. They're arguing with him. And they said, give us water to drink. Like he's some magician. And Moses replied, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test? You know you're going to make him angry by your grumbling and complaining and arguing with me. But the people were thirsty for water. And they grumbled against Moses. They said, why did you bring us? Now listen to this. Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and our livestock die of thirst? Do you understand? Do you see the extent of the grumbling and complaining? Now listen, it's not the being thirsty that's bad here. Excuse me. It's not the being thirsty that's the bad. It's the what? The grumbling, the complaining, the quarreling. And now they're even to the point to where they're tempting God, provoking him to anger. And they're saying, you, Moses, not God, you have brought us, all our family, our children, on all our livestock, out to this new place to die of thirst. Then Moses cried out to the Lord, what am I to do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me. And then we find out that here, God tells Moses, get in front of the whole community of people. I want you to stand by this big old rock up here where everybody can see. I want you to take that staff I gave you. I want you to whack that thing, whack that rock with a stick, and water will come out of that rock and be plenty for the whole camp of people. So not only did they need a small trickling amount of water, there was a couple million people, 600,000 men alone. All right? So if you add to that the women and the children and the other people that came with, I mean, that's significant. So there had to be a significant amount of water coming from this rock. Friends, don't look back in your lives longingly at what used to be. When I first, let me just tell you a little story, and some of you have heard it before, probably many of you. When I first hurt my back, I was making good money. I loved my job. I was working as a route driver at Pepsi-Cola in Batavia. I loved my job. It was hard work, but I liked it. I liked it, and I was getting paid well. When I went on disability because I couldn't work anymore, and I had surgery after surgery after surgery, I didn't like that space so much. It was like I was in that desert. I was in that desert, and God was teaching me. And honestly, at the beginning of that, or maybe even towards the middle, there were times when I would just think about how good it was then. Back when my job owned me, and I was working 12 to 15 hours every day. And the Lord reminded me. And it was like, focus for us. Focus on me, because I'm leading you to a place where you've never been before. Don't be looking back, because I'm not there anymore. I was there when you were there, but I'm not there anymore. I'm leading you in another direction, and I want you to trust me, and I want you to follow me. In your lives, don't look back. Don't look back. Don't look back longingly like Lot's wife did, wishing for what was. The relationships that were there. The financial security that was there. the way of life, but there's death back there. Do you understand? There's death back there. Lot's wife was looking back to where there was death. The Israelites were looking back to where there was slavery. 400 years worth of slavery. And God is saying, I'm not there anymore. I'm not there. Follow me. I'm leading you to a place of blessing. I'm leading you to a place of provision. I'm leading you to a place of peace. Now, does that mean that everything is going to be fine and you're not going to have any more problems because God's leading you? No, that's not it. But God is promising, I'm going to be there. I'm taking you there if you will only follow me. I want to tell you a story. Back in the year 1519, there was a man, a captain of a ship, of a fleet of ships. His name was Hernan Cortez. He was with the Spanish, and they were attempting to conquer Mexico. And he set out on a great conquest, and he landed in a place called Veracruz. When he gets there, he tries to do things talking with the people that were living there. And that wasn't working well. There began to be fighting, and death was imminent because there were so many of them and so few of him and his sailors and his people that had come there. And so his people began to fear, and they're thinking, well, at least we have a way out. We can leave here, and we can go back where we came from, where it's safe and where it's secure. But people had tried coming here before, and they failed. And Cortez gives this one command, and he says, burn the ships. Excuse me, sir? Burn the ships. Sir, that's our only way home. Burn the ships. But sir, if we burn the ships, we can't leave this island. Burn the ships. Sir, you understand that if we burn these ships, we're going to be here forever. We will never be able to leave. Burn those ships and do it now. Do you know what Cortez was saying? We're staying. We're fighting this out. We're not leaving this island. We're not leaving this place. Either we're going to succeed at what we're doing or we're going to die trying. Do you understand? Sometimes in life, we need that attitude. Burn the ships. I'm not going back there anymore. A number of years ago, towards the end of my disability, I was hooked on OxyContin and other narcotics, and I couldn't live without them, literally. And I remember the effects that it would have on me. Come time to take my medication, I would just be drenched with sweat. And man, I was irritable, and it was taking its toll on my marriage. And I remember my wife had to talk to my dad, to talk to me, to say, listen, this is serious. You got to do something about this, because she can't stand you anymore. Literally. It's hard to see that in the way things are now, but it was really tough then, really tough. And I knew then that I had to do something. And I had tried 2 or 3 times prior to this and failed to get off of these medications. I couldn't do it. And it came to the point to where there was, do you ever hear of the point of no return? It's a place where you've come so far that it's not even beneficial to you to go back anymore. And so you commit to it. And that's where I was. And honestly, there were times when I just wanted to end it all. Physically, I was miserable, and it was taking over, and it was ruling my life, literally. But I knew that I had to do something, and I knew that I couldn't do it on my own. But I committed myself, like, in a sense, like this Cortez did. We're staying here, and we're going to succeed, or we're going to die. That's the place that I was in. I'm going to succeed at this, or I'm going to die trying. And so Cortez has those ships burned, and they sink. Out in the water, they sink. And those people that were with him now recognize there's no turning back, friends. If we don't fight this out, if we don't make this work, we're going to die. And in so doing, though, can you imagine all of the people that were with him, like, you are out of your mind. Can you imagine that there was probably some kind of mutiny ready to go? Wouldn't you think so? You better believe it. He made the decision, and it saved their lives. And it saved, they were able to accomplish what they wanted to accomplish. Though it was difficult, it was a success. And to this day, he's remembered for that very thing. Retreat is easy when you have that option. Let that sink in for a moment. Retreat is easy when you have the option. When the option of retreat is taken away, the only way to go is forward. It's our safety net, if you will, right? If this doesn't work, it is a practice today where, I'm not going to go there. It's a safety net so that we don't have to fully commit, right? We don't have to fully commit, and we're leaving ourselves a back door. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm saying? The end result of this decision was either they live and make it work, or they die. There are times when the only way to achieve success in whatever it is that we may be striving for, the only way is to burn the ships. Because otherwise, we keep going back. We keep going back. And we keep going back. Because that option is always there. Burn the ships. By doing so, we can't go back. That's risky. That's risky, isn't it? And it's scary sometimes. I wonder today what you may be facing that you have battled with before, or maybe needed or been wanting to do, and yet maybe you've tried and failed. Maybe you've tried a number of times and failed. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's an addiction to drugs, maybe, pornography, spending money. Maybe it's your desire to have a better life for you and your family in spite of what your own circumstances were when you were growing up. But you're bound, maybe you're bound in a dead-end job and you're miserable. Maybe you've been longing to be more involved in church ministry, but there's too many things in your life that are going on and you have no time. And so you're reluctant to get involved or to commit to that. Maybe you're wanting to be more faithful in your tithing, but you're afraid to make that commitment to God. What if I don't have enough when it's all over, when the week is done? I don't have enough for myself. I think we've all had to deal with that. Those of us who tithe regularly have had to make that choice. That yes, I'm taking the first part of what I make, a tenth of it, and I'm giving that to God. No matter what else happens. And so there's a trust here. God says, trust me, test me in this, and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven for you and give you more than you need. And yet we're reluctant to do so because we're afraid that we're not going to have enough. We're struggling right now and you're wanting me. No, it's not me. It's the Bible that says that. It's not Pastor Russ. The Bible says that. Okay? And so we're just trying to get ourselves in line with the Bible. And when we do, God blesses us because of it. So you are withholding blessing from yourself by not tithing. Does that make sense? You're tying, in a sense, God's hands from blessing you when you withhold from Him finances that belong to Him. Maybe you've tried a number of times. Here's another tough one. You've tried a number of times to start eating healthier. Uh-huh. Maybe you even made a New Year's resolution that you're going to eat better. Instead of a chicken wing, I'm going to have me a piece of celery. You get where I'm going. And you try over and over and over, and you fail at it. And at times, you're just like, oh, heck with it. I'm done. I can't do it. I can't do it. You're reluctant to start again for fear of another failure. God is desiring to lead you to the promised land, but you're longing to go back to Egypt. Don't be looking back. Stop it. Don't look back to where you once were. God's not there anymore. God is leading you forward. Forward, not backward. So this begs the question then, what are my ships? What are the things that I can use to go back if this doesn't work out? So we need to think about what it is that is our vessel to get back to the safety of where we once were in the past, where God is no longer. Are you with me? What are the ships that need to be burned? What is it that makes me afraid to burn these ships? In many cases, is it because we can't get back there anymore? To where we once were. But that's what God wants. He doesn't want us back there. He wants us here, just like Abraham. I'm taking you to a place that you've never been before. And if you follow me, I'm going to bless you. It's like, in a sense, our feet are at the ledge and we're wanting to jump off, yet our toes are clinging to that ledge. And they're like, oh, I'm not sure. I can't get, let them go. Because once I go, there's no safety net. I'm wanting to dive. I'm wanting to fly. But my feet don't want to leave the ledge. You follow me? The time has come, friends, to jump. To jump off of that ledge and into the arms of the Savior. The time has come to burn the ships that would take you back to where you came from, where God is not there anymore. the time has come to burn the ships. Would you stand with me today? I wonder what it is in your life that you may have been dealing with. What is it in your life that you've been struggling to get past? You've been in bondage just like those Hebrew people. And God is wanting to set you free. And he's longing for you to follow him so that he can bless you and give you the success, if you will. And I don't mean necessarily money doesn't always go with success. Success in what it is you're striving for. Maybe something that you've always wanted to do. Something that you may even feel called to do, and yet you're reluctant because of the commitment that is necessary. You're afraid of failure and so many other reasons. What is the ship that needs to be burned? God is calling his church to a place of purity, and he's calling his church to a place of holiness. And he's looking for people that will say, yes, God, regardless of what is asked. You know what? When you understand who it is that's doing the asking of you, it doesn't matter what he's asking. When you understand who it is that's asking of you, it doesn't matter anymore what he's asking. Our hearts say, yes, God. Yes, God. I will. God is calling you to a place of deeper faith. He's calling you to a place to where you are no longer craving milk. Do you understand me? As a baby would. But you're craving sustenance. You're craving meat. You're craving real food. Do you follow me? God's calling you to these places. What will you say? Are you ready to make that kind of commitment? Are you ready to say, go ahead, burn those ships, because I ain't going back there anymore. That's not who I am anymore. That's who I used to be. The Bible says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has gone, and it says, behold, look, everything is new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, new creature. All the old stuff gone, look, everything is new. That's what God wants to do in your life. And I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about church. I'm talking about God and you. I'm talking about the body of Christ. Everything that God asks us to do, in most cases, will affect somebody else. Because when God speaks to us through his word, it's for the better of the body of Christ. Do you follow me? God is calling you today. God is asking you to take that step off of the ledge. And trust him. And just trust him. Be it tithing, be it ministry, be it business. I don't know. That's you and God. That's not for me to know. But God may be speaking to your heart. And so we're going to sing a song today. As we do, I challenge you. To come forward and do business with God because he wants to do that with you. Brother.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed. Your promise still stands.
Come forward,
friends.
Do business with God.
faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet.
Don't allow that big toe of yours to cling to the ledge anymore. Take that step, friends. You're taking a step towards God is what's happening. The Bible says, draw near to God and what? He will draw near to you. You don't need to worry. You don't need to worry. You're responding to the call that God is placing on you.
Sing it again. Oh, your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed. Oh, your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet.
That song says, this is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. God will never fail you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Let's pray together. Father God, we come before you today. And Lord, we recognize our own doubt, be it in ourselves, be it in you. We recognize our own reluctance to commit to you. We recognize our failures. God, we want to follow. We want to be God followers. We want to follow the trail that you have marked for us. I pray that you would give us the strength. Give us the strength to, if necessary, burn those ships that would take us back to the place where we once were. Give us the strength to say, no, I'm not going back there anymore. I'm not that person anymore. God is not there anymore. He's moving forward. And God, I want to follow you. I want to follow you with everything that I am. I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you are so inclined, you pray this prayer with me. I'm going to pray a prayer of commitment and dedication. And ask God to help us commit to Him. You can pray out loud after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I can't do this by myself. I recognize my own weakness. My own inability to follow.
My own inability to follow.
And I've been staying in this place far too long. Help me to burn those ships.
Help me to burn those ships.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
I commit myself to you.
I commit myself to you.
I will no longer stay in this place.
I will no longer stay in this place.
Because you are leading me on. And I want to be where you are.
And I want to be where you are.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.